smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
In tough economic times, there are people who are forced into a position of deciding whether to, for instance, feed themselves or feed a pet, use their money for medication for themselves or for their pet. This is obviously a tragic situation, but in fact, there are ways that all of us can look at what we spend to care for our furry friends and perhaps cut the costs. And my guest in this segment of the Good Dog Podcast is Dr. Steven Zawatowski. He's the Executive Vice President of the ASPCA National Program Office. And very simply, a listener suggested this topic. I did a Google search, found that there is actually a fair amount of information on the web, but I particularly liked what Dr. Z, as he's affectionately called, has had to say. So, Dr. Zawatowski, welcome.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. And is this a topic that you've thought about?
Well, it's actually something we've been looking at for some time. And in fact, research that I helped with back in the 1990s showed that economic problems, housing problems, family hardship type things were one of the important reasons why people were relinquishing animals to animal shelters. And when I've looked at data, we have data for the city of New York going back a century, and I'm willing to bet that this would be the same just about anywhere if they had those data available, showed that when there are economic swings, that we see relinquishments at the shelter, and that's just really one of the symptoms of when people are having a tough time taking care of their pets. And obviously the high watermark or low watermark, you might say, is during the Great Depression in the 1930s, close to 300,000 animals a year were showing up in the shelters in New York. To give you an idea, that number is about 40,000 to 50,000 now. And, you know, what we've seen is when times are hard for people, times are hard for their pets as well.
Absolutely. So the situation I described is obviously quite dire when people are choosing who gets to eat or who gets to take their medication. But way prior to that, you know, you look at the costs of caring for a dog in our society today, certainly here in the U.S., and it can be very high. I think in terms of what I spend for Lulu's care, she's a healthy three-year-old dog, so our vet bills are not that high right now. But should something happen to her, boy, you know, it really can shoot through the roof.
Yeah, we actually have a pet care cost calculator on the ASPCA website at www.aspca.org. We went through and tried to figure out what are those essential things you need to take care of a pet in terms of veterinary care, good pet food, having a leash, a collar. You know, and there's some interesting things that we considered there. We put in that as a part of the basic acquisition costs. We actually kind of broke it down into what you'd consider capital costs, you know, the things that you have to pay up front when you acquire a pet, you know, collars, leashes, and things like that. We consider pet training as an important variable there. And a lot of times you wouldn't think it's a way to save money, but I know that you have dog trainers on, and we always, you know, talk about how wonderful it is when you have a well-trained dog because it does make them a more interesting companion. But it also can help save you money because there are those incidental things where pets cost you money. For example, if they're poorly trained and they chew up your carpet, if they chew up your furniture, if they're soiling on your carpet, if you haven't trained your cat well and they're scratching things, you know, these are actually some of the costs that actually start pushing people over the edge in addition to all the other things that they spend money on.
Not to mention the lawsuit that your neighbor files.
The lawsuit your neighbor files, of course, and even in terms of medical care, one of the things we find, for example, is that a lot of emergency visits are because pets don't pay attention, they aren't well trained, they get away, they get out into the street, they get hit by a car.
Or they eat the wrong thing, right? Or they jump up on your table and eat the brownies.
Yep. And so, you know, some of those, one of the things we try and get people to do is look at the preventives. And certainly in veterinary care, it's better to make that visit, figure out how to do that, because if you can catch a problem early, it's much less expensive to treat it. Spaying and neutering your pet has tremendous advantages in helping to reduce the likelihood of various cancers and other problems they may have. We've even thought that, you know, having pet insurance can be kind of a helpful thing as well sometimes if you can afford that. That's a little bit farther down the line, but it is certainly one of those ones that makes a huge difference if the choice of being able to provide the treatment for your pet is really a financial question. Sometimes if you're able to do that, even if you don't get pet insurance, very often if you talk to your veterinarian, they'll work with you to develop a payment plan or something of that sort to make it reasonable. In fact, I just talked to my son last night. His dog stepped on a piece of glass, and they needed to take her to the veterinarian to have the glass removed and just make sure everything was okay. And their veterinarian has a special thing where they pay $20 a month, and then every time you bring your pet in, it's only $20 for the visit. So, you know, what could have been several hundred dollars in terms of an emergency visit, we're sort of buffered by this little bit of thinking ahead.
From what you're saying, that there are all these upfront, what you describe as capital costs, if someone is considering getting a dog and cost is a real issue, would you then advise them to consider adopting a slightly older dog who had already, for instance, been trained and been spayed or neutered and had some of these capital costs already taken care of?
Well, certainly one of the great financial advantages of adopting a pet is that they will have had all their vaccinations, they will have had the basic medical exams, you will almost always be spayed neutered ahead of time, and many places are actually beginning the training programs for dogs, or the cats have already been accustomed to using a litter box and that, so it's a good value to go to your local humane society or shelter and get your pet there. And then the other thing is, when you're looking at the things to get, you know, part of it has to do with simple, good quality as opposed to too fancy. You know, a good collar and leash that you can buy at a pet supply store will likely last you the lifetime of your pet. You don't need to get one for every season. You don't need to get one to match your clothes or those types of things. So, you know, think about some of the extras that you buy, and what are you buying the extras? Are they necessary for your pet, for the well-being of your pet, or are you buying them because you just think it's a cool thing to buy? And obviously that's a lot of people have to deal with that on what they are buying, and certainly in these economic times we're seeing that people are sort of cutting back on the extras. And so what we like people to do is concentrate on the things that are really, really critical to making sure your pet's going to be healthy and happy with you. And, you know, more than buying your pet toys, the best gift you can give your pet is your time and your attention.
And there are some things around the house that would serve as toys just fine, right?
Piece
of rope.
You don't need to buy anything really special, you know, a leftover tennis ball. You know, when I was a graduate student and I couldn't afford to buy a lot of stuff, you can patrol around tennis courts and you can find tennis balls all over because not everyone chases them when they go over the fence. The other thing certainly is, you know, as I say, there's things you can also do at home which will help you save money. Brushing your dog at home will be much less expensive than taking them to be groomed. Learning and how to trim your dog's toenails at home as opposed to having to take him to the veterinarian, to a groomer. Same thing with your cat. And there's a number of basic things you can do to help ensure that certain conditions don't develop. So, you know, taking a bit of gauze pad, some baking soda, you can brush your dog's teeth like that. That's going to help prevent tartar buildup, help prevent the need for extensive tooth cleanings constantly. The other thing that you can do is cleaning your dog's ears appropriately. You know, there's a lot of those types of things that you can do at home, and they are going to help keep your pet healthy, and you're going to save money because you can do those at home.
You said invest in training a little earlier. Would you say specifically hire a professional trainer or enroll your dog in a course at the local ASPCA or Humane Society? Or is that something that people can do on their own with the help of a book or some guide?
Well, I'll be honest. Anything you do is better than nothing. I think the best option is if you can enroll in a group class somewhere at the local Humane Society or the 4-H or something like that. It's got a couple of things that are going to be helpful for you. Number one, there's going to be somebody there who's going to really know what they're doing, and they're going to help walk you through all of that. The other thing, of course, is your dog will become more socialized, so that your dog will become used to being around other people and other dogs. And, you know, one of the ways to sort of have a cheap date with your dog is to be able to go to the park and enjoy the dog park or go out places with your dog, because, you know, that's the way that to really enjoy having the dog, as opposed to, you know, needing to spend a lot of money on toys or even needing to spend money to go to doggy daycare. You can do those things on your own with your dog, and, you know, they'll be welcome when they're polite and well-mannered and reasonably trained.
There's a big difference in the price of dog foods. Do you recommend that people buy generic dog food when trying to cut costs? How do they determine what's good, healthy pet food?
We normally recommend a good quality name brand, usually one of the premium brands of foods, for a variety of reasons. You know, first, it's just the consistency of the product. Second is the palatability in terms of whether or not the dog's going to want to eat it. And third is it tends to be a bit more concentrated, so it's a little bit more to start off with, but you actually feed less. And when you come right down to it, you know, the amount that comes out one end is related to the amount that goes in the other end. So it's a little bit easier to clean up if you've been feeding a good quality dog food.
I never knew there was a connection there. That's good to know. You learn something new every day, right? Let's talk about medications for just a moment. If, in fact, your pet is on some sort of regular medication, and even if it's a healthy pet and you choose to give him or her heartworm medicine, you know, preventative or the program, you know, the Advantage, one of those sorts of things to, you know, help to keep them flea free. Is that the sort of thing that people can look online and buy, for instance, from Canada or something to save costs? What would you suggest there?
I mean, one of the things that you really want to do is really consult with your veterinarian about what you want to give and how you want to give it. I mean, part of that is simply because different dogs will react to products differently, or cats. And if your veterinarian isn't aware of what you're giving, you know, it will be more, if your dog has a reaction of some sort, it'll be more difficult for them to understand what's going on. Sometimes it can help to steer you. What I do suggest is, you know, be upfront with your veterinarian and say, you know, when you have your annual visit, say, you know, what would you recommend for flea treatment or for heartworm treatment? I would like to be able to buy it online from a service. Is there one that you would recommend? What would you recommend that I can buy? I mean, I think you should have that honest conversation with your veterinarian. I think the veterinarian is going to be happy that you will have talked to them about it. You will have asked their advice about it. There are some that they may say, you know, it's better not to buy it like that because you're uncertain of the quality. But certainly you have to be careful, because if like anything else, if you mix different drugs or treatments inappropriately, I mean, one of the key things, for example, is that dog treatments that have pyrethrins in them are incredibly toxic to cats. You got to be very careful about having those. Sometimes even if you have a dog and a cat in the same household and you use that dog product and your cat happens to rub against your dog, because it's a contact product, you know, the cat could get it on them and will actually can have a neurological reaction to it. So you really, really, really do want to talk to your veterinarian. But be honest with your vet and say, look, you know, I have enough money to come to you, but I don't have enough money. You know, I need to buy the products, you know, at a reduced price somewhere, and get their advice on that.
And when shopping online, be sure to look at quantities and the weight of the dog and all of that, because you're not talking to anyone. You're just ordering it on your own. So that information's there, right?
You know, that's one of those things. I mean, one of the things when you do go to your veterinarian, which you are paying for in addition to, obviously, what you see them do, the physical exam or whatever treatment they provide in the treatment room, you're also paying for their expertise and their advice. You know, and it's that kind of advice. Having a good relationship with your veterinarian is a great way to help ensure that you're getting the best for your pet. And, you know, think about it, it's sort of like having a good financial advisor. You know, they're going to help you make decisions that don't get you in financial problems.
It's one more kind of insurance. Finally, what about end of life, or when your dog moves into the phase of life where he or she requires more care? Is that something that we should save up for? Are there ways of reducing the costs that can really skyrocket at the end?
Well, it's hard because end of life costs can often, rival what you may have spent in the lifetime of the pet. And that's very much an individual decision, depending on whatever condition your pet might have. I mean, you may be confronted with something like cancer where, you know, chemo or some other sort of treatment may prolong the pet's life for 6-7 months, but may not actually extend it substantially beyond that. Do think about the welfare of the pet. I mean, how comfortable is the pet going to be? Think about what your pet was like. And, you know, if it was a dog who was very active, are they going to be comfortable being, put into a situation where they don't have very much mobility or anything anymore? In many ways, what you want to do is talk to your veterinarian about how to plan for that. Not when your dog is a puppy or a cat's a kitten, but as they start getting into those senior years, as they're starting to show some wear and tear on them, they're starting to decline, start asking questions, what's going to be coming next? How will I know when they are in pain? How will they know when, they may no longer be able to care for themselves? I mean, and you'll see very often, and the people that I've talked to, very often they will tell you that when they look into their pet's eyes, their pet will tell them that, it's now, the time is now. And, when you look at your pet and you listen to your pet, listen with your heart in a way that's for the pet as opposed to for you. Sometimes it's, we don't want to let go because we aren't ready for the pet to go, even if the pet is ready to go. And I've gone through it. I mean, I think as I've told people, it's the final chapter of your history with your pet. And if you write it well, and you prepare for it well, it will provide a lasting memory and will be a tribute to the life and that you shared with that companion. Obviously, one of the things to look at, though, is, you don't need to spend an awful lot of money on a granite marker or anything extensive. It's possible, depending on where you live, to bring your pet home and bury them in the backyard with a memorial. If there are children in the home, it's part of their process of grieving can be to, glue some small stones onto a bigger stone and make a memorial for your pet and maybe plant a little shrub or a flower for it or something. Those are all ways. It's not the money you spend. It's the spirit and the love that you put into it that will make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you so much for all these insights. And once again, if people want to learn more, they can go to aspca.org and search on pet care, cutting pet care costs. Any other resources you want to share?
Obviously think about your local Humane Society or SPCA. They have experts there who can work with you on a lot of these things. And at the same time, always think of your veterinarian as a valuable and important resource. So, like I say, obviously the ASPCA, we have an enormous amount of information that would help you with training your pet, how to choose a pet food, how to estimate the cost for your pets, et cetera. You'll find information about where to go to adopt a pet. And at the same time, think about your local options.
Great. Dr. Stephen Zawatowski, who's Executive Vice President, ASPCA National Program Office. Thanks so much for being on Good Dog today.
My pleasure.
You can provide feedback on any of our shows or requests for new topics by emailing gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.